Tango Tango Papa 2138, April 3rd, 2024.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you today from Columbia, Missouri. So it's been a little bit over a month since the last podcast, but not much over a month. So in the meantime, let's see what went on. I was able to take my regular time off, so I've been back at work, a little bit less than a week so far. Now, I can't remember what I talked about in the last podcast. Maybe I talked about it. I had about a year ago, I had a tooth that... It was a lower molar on my left that developed an abscess. And that tooth had been, it was one of the ones that I had capped a number of years ago. So, but it suddenly decided it was going to have an abscess. And so I was on penicillin, and then was able to get a prescription from my dentist for the penicillin. So I, kind of knocked it down. And I, when I was home the time before last, went to see him, and he wasn't sure, because at that point I wasn't even really too sure which tooth it was, because it was really, at that point, it was hard to tell. I thought I knew which one it was, but I wasn't absolutely sure. And so he said, he gave me another prescription for penicillin, and he said, let's see what happens. And so, of course, after I came back to work, I was back at work about a week or so, and then all of a sudden, abscess started coming back in a little bit different place this time, and I was able to kind of really pinpoint which tooth it was. It was, it was the one that I had initially thought it was. It's kind of the next to the last tooth on my lower left. Because at one point I thought, maybe it's the farthest back tooth, but it was actually the next to the last tooth. So what he did, he ended up referring me to this other doctor that was able to do, kind of rework, he specializes in root canals. So I went to see him. I was able to get an appointment to see him. And then this was when I was home the last, the time before last. He was busy. They didn't have any appointments. And so they set up an appointment for towards the end of March. And, so I was able to, make that appointment while I was home this last time. And so he got in there and he reworked the root canal. And so it's been a few days since that happened. He told me it was going to be sensitive for a while, and so far it is. All I can do is just wait and see what happens. And if that fails, then I guess probably the next step after that is going to be some sort of implant, Because if the abscess comes back, then, I can't keep taking antibiotics forever. So the solution then would be to pull the tooth. Now, I don't know if implants can get abscesses or not. That's probably something I should look up. you wouldn't think that they could, but I'd say probably they might be able to. Because it would depend on the blood supply. Because that's, you know, if, you know, the abscesses, I never really was able to understand, you know, because always, you know, I've had an abscess or two in a long past, and it seemed like the gum was always involved somehow. And with the abscesses I've had most recently, the gum really wasn't involved. It was more the root of the tooth. And, you know, maybe that's how it always is. But in any case, you know, if the gum, if the bacterial infection isn't coming through the gum, then where is it coming from? It's probably coming from the blood supply somehow. I don't know, you know, because you're... body, sometimes you can have bacteria and viruses that the body is able to sort of wall off, you know, kind of keep them walled off, and then eventually those things can kind of, you know, sneak back out. So you know, and the doctors, you know, I've asked them directly, you know, how does that happen? Well, we don't really know. You know, so they don't really have a direct answer. So maybe somebody does, but it is possible to end up with an abscess and not have any gum involvement. You know, where the gum itself is kind of infected. So, because that's usually what you think of with tooth infections is the gum, or, you know, tooth problems. It's typically the gum is, the gums themselves are kind of damaged. So, but in any case, like I say, the thing is sensitive at this point. And it seems to be maybe getting a little less sensitive each day. I can chew on that side a little bit, and, you know, but I'm, you know, not nothing. Very heavy, because it is a little bit sensitive. So I'll just, like I say, I'll just wait and see what happens. Now, when it was done a year ago, the tooth remained sort of sensitive. I was able to chew with it, but it remained sensitive kind of the whole time. You know, I thought maybe the sensitivity should go away, but it never did. And so I don't know. It may be that with the root canal, the sensitivity might not go away. I don't know. But yeah, I would think that it would go away eventually, because they as part of the root canal process, they destroy the nerve to the tooth. So I don't know, you know. But there's trauma, you know, to the, I guess, you know, down into the jawbone or whatever. I'm not exactly sure. But so I know they kind of clean out the roots. You know, the root structure remains in place, but they sort of hollow that out and then fill it up with material. So at least that's what I think they do. So from the stuff that I've watched. So anyway, sweet, my phone's ringing. Okay, I'm back. That was actually my parents calling, wishing me my mom loves to, today's my birthday, my mom loves to call people up and sing to them happy birthday song. So that's what she did. And so anyway, I talked to her for a while, and Dad was in the background or whatever. But so in any case, back to the dentist. Well, you know, before I went to the dentist, you know, for this root canal, you know, redo, you know, this dentist kind of fixing it up, I met a friend at there's a Japanese restaurant, and I hadn't eaten in there for a while, and so the friend's been having trouble. He's got false teeth, and so he's been having problems with his false teeth, and so figured, you know, like, beef teriyaki would probably be easy for him to eat, and so went there, and you know, and they have, this place has really good fried rice, and I hadn't had, you know, so I hadn't had that for a long time, so I got the fried rice along with the beef teriyaki. So while I was, and I'm pretty sure it was the rice that did it, while I was laying there, you know, because I was pretty much laying almost, pretty much completely flat or close to it in the dental chair, kind of in right in the middle of the dentist, you know, he was just really working on that tooth with the drill, and then he also had this laser. I guess he was kind of maybe lasering out the material from the previous root canal. So he, you know, he was in there just working away. Well, in the meantime, my right foot started to get a cramp. You know, it started sort of in the toes, and then before you know it, it was up in the like the calf area of my right leg. And you know, here I am, they've got the goggles on me because they're using a laser in my mouth, and you know, and then plus I've got this rubber dam thing, you know, that kind of prevents me from talking, because it just with a rubber dam like a dentist has, it pretty much covers your entire mouth, and it only exposes the tooth that they're working on. And so, you know, I thought, well, I could stop. If I stopped them, I'd have to stand up and try to get rid of the cramp, because that's really the only way I can get rid of it. But I really couldn't do that, and so I just kind of laid there and took it. And I didn't give the dentist or his female assistant any indication that I was going through any kind of problem. The only relief that I could get, I was able to kind of move the right leg and sort of press the back of the calf muscle onto the shin bone on my left leg, you know, which is kind of, you know, your shin bone is pretty hard, and kind of get it to relax a little bit that way. But it was pretty much, you know, it went on for, I don't know, quite a number of minutes. And then by the time he was done, it had already kind of gone away at that point. And I was, afterwards, I have to admit, I was sort of, I don't know if you'd say proud of myself, for being able to just lay there and take it and not complain about it, or not give them any indication that, you know, that I had any kind of muscle cramp or any kind of issue like that going on. So that was really the only unpleasant part of the root canal process, because otherwise they did a really good job of numbing my mouth and what have you, so really didn't feel anything from there. But that, you know, and it was really my own fault. I kind of knew that if I eat certain grains, if I eat very much of certain types of grains, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to end up with muscle cramp. And in this case, it didn't take a whole, it only took just probably 2 or 3 hours. And here it was. And it usually is more likely to happen when I'm laying down like that. It's not as likely to happen in other positions, you know, so. And then if I stick with my, you know, the regular diet of meat, salad, and vegetables, I never have a problem. So, but the grains sort of, you know, and this is my theory, the grains are certain grains, too much of certain grains, I can eat a little bit of it, but if I eat too much, it's throwing something out of balance. You know, and you need, you know, hydration, potassium, and sodium, you know, that those three things have to be in balance. You know, and there are probably other hormones, but those things have to be in balance in order to for the nerves to function properly. You know, so, you know, the nerves. If those get out of balance, then you know that you can end up with you know, muscle cramps or whatever. So, but like I say, normally if I just stick to my regular meat, salad, and vegetables, never have a problem. But guess I like to throw monkey wrenches in once in a while. The rice was good. It tasted great. I don't know that it was worth that, but oh well. So, anyway, I've got a couple of files that Joel sent. One of them was it was soon after I published the last, or the most recent podcast. And then he sent another one more recently. So the first one he sent on February the 20th, or I'm sorry, it looks like February the 24th. No, February the 9th and then February the 24th. So the first one that I'm going to play is from February 9th. And then the most recent one is from February the 24th. So, in any case, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, I was listening to Jeremy's results there, or comments, I should say. I don't know if I shared with you, but I'm actually starting my master's degree here in a few weeks. It's going to be in the information management information systems. And it's going to have a concentration in cybersecurity. But I would have probably taken a UI one, but I don't think they had it yet as a concentration. But and I'm going back to my alma mater, which is now DeVry University. When I was there in, 89 through 92, it was DeVry Institute of Technology. And my degree there, and my bachelor's was electronics engineering technology. Don't really use the electronic part of it as much anymore. I guess technically I do, but mostly because I fiddle around with the Raspberry Pis and stuff like that. But I chose DeVry because for multiple reasons. One, they're for profit. They're a for-profit school. So it's going to have a little bit less of the wokey stuff, you know. It's going to concentrate on what I want to concentrate on, the things I'm trying to learn, and not the things I don't really care to learn. You know, I don't want to say don't care to learn. I don't believe it is correct learning, I guess, is what I want to say. So that is all going to be completely online. Completely online. So the end goal there is I want to be able to at some point become a manager in what I do. And I also want to know like the security things. You know, I'm 52, going to be 53. And I'll probably be 54 or 55 before I finish my degree. That's going to be less than I go for. I'm not going to go for a PhD because it's just crazy talk. I'll probably be one of the oldest people in the class. So I think college education is appropriate for some things and some people. I think there's a lot of people that go and take crazy degrees and then are expect that they're going to get a job. You know, well, if you don't take a degree where you don't have any chances of getting a job, then there's no way. So the ultimate thing here is, should be, if you go to college, you're taking something that you're going to want to do for your lifelong career or improve your lifelong career. Now, my son, he was going and he was taking business management, I think, because he wanted to run a bowling alley. Well, the thing is, let's face it, bowling alleys aren't doing the greatest. All right. They got hurt severely by the pandemic, some of them being closed for almost a year. Okay. So the chances of him doing that, slim and none, really. All right. Not to mention the fact you don't really have to have that kind of a degree to manage a bowling alley. Okay. He was only going for an associate. So he dropped out of his classes. He didn't like some of the classes that he had to take. And these weren't even major classes. These are just the general education classes everyone has to take to give you a balanced education, right? So he's going to go, the next one happens, he's going to go learn basic automotive maintenance at a career center here. And then if he goes back to college, he's probably looking at possibly doing some of the either a trade school for automotive work or the community college here actually has a program through Ford called the Ford Asset Program. And Ford basically provides cars for them to work on. All right. And that's what you learn on. So he loves cars. He knows enough. If he could really interface with people, he could sell cars. All right. You ask him what kind of a starting system a car has, and he can tell you, well, it's push button start, it's gonna need to keep up, blah, blah, blah. He knows all these things, remembers them. I don't know why. You know, he knows all these details. And the only thing he doesn't know, he can't tell you why. He just knows that it has, which for a salesperson, that's it. That's really all you need to know. But because of his autism, he has issues with communicating. So, he'll find something, I hope. I just don't want him to live at home forever. So,
okay, well, thank you, Joel, for the first comment. So, yeah, if you're already, obviously you're already working at your job and you've already got a pretty long career path established, and so adding to your education, where, let's say, it enhances your ability to move forward, continue to move forward in your present job, career path, that makes sense. And that's especially true if it's already something that you're interested in. The problem that most people have is that in order to really do well, you've got to have a natural interest in whatever it is. And you know, I don't know. I find it impossible if I'm not interested in some topic, I find it really difficult, if not impossible, to sort of force myself to learn something. But if something is part, if I have a natural curiosity towards something, then, I don't have to force myself. It becomes very easy to just absorb all kinds of information if I have a natural interest in whatever it is. So obviously you've got an interest in your career, that the career path that you've been on for a long time, and you simply enhance that with a further education, then there you go. And you've already done the DeVry thing. I believe that's, as far as I know, that's for profit school, which I don't really, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with a lot of the, you know, the government-sponsored schools, because it seems like they're not really interested in teaching people anything at this point. It's just, you know, it's more of an indoctrination process. They're trying to, they want to reprogram. They really do believe that they can reprogram the youth, reprogram them into sort of modifying their awareness in such a way that they're going to create utopia, you know, some sort of woke utopia. And I think a lot of them really do believe that. And it's, and of course, it can't work. It doesn't work. You put the wrong thing, essentially, you put the wrong thing. We all, you know, see if I can explain this. We have to aim at something, you know, and even if you go back to the, you know, to the Adam and Eve story and the concept of sin. Sin means to miss the mark, and so we have to aim. So if you think about it, our consciousness is sort of structured in a hierarchy, and so at the top should be of that hierarchy that the thing that we should be aiming for is the highest possible good. Now we can debate all day long, you know, what is the highest possible good, but that's essentially, if you're sincere, that's an internal debate that primarily has to take place within your own consciousness. You know, you're sort of negotiating with your conscience. You know, the word Israel means those who wrestle with God. The conscience, if you think about it, as a conscious creature, your conscience is the thing that you're most intimate with. My conscience, as a conscious creature, I have this, you know, and I know that I'm conscious, you know, and I'm assuming that you're conscious and that other people are conscious. You know, I have to make that assumption that they're having the same sort of conscious experience that I'm having. But I can't know that directly. But the thing I can know directly, as a conscious entity, as a conscious creature, the thing that I can know directly is that there is this thing called conscience, and it's something that I sort of wrestle with. You know, what is the right thing to do? What's the right thing to aim at? I was thinking about this yesterday, so we're going to go off on another topic here. I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, let's say I've got the task of driving. Obviously, I'm driving down the road in the truck, and so the aim for that, you know, in this case it would be a task, but the aim for that is for me to kind of pay attention to the road in front of me and sort of stay, you know, and as part of that, stay in my lane, you know, watch my speed, watch what's going on, you know, if there's other traffic around me, watch the roads, make sure there's nothing jumping out in front of the truck, or, you know, if some condition changes and may or may not respond to it. And so that would be the aim, but what would be a sin in that context? So what would be a sin? Looking at my phone. Doing it like, you know, trying to, read something on the phone or even worse, start doing text messaging. In that context, in the driving context, that would be a sin. That would be sort of missing the mark, because it would be taking attention away from what, you know, when I'm driving, the highest possible aim in that case is to, you know, like I say, pay attention to the driving process. So as we go about our lives, we have to, you know, sort of aim at, you know, what is the highest possible aim? And I really believe that our highest possible aim has to result, or you know, there's a lot of things involved in that, but, you know, right up there at the top is what is the right thing to do? How's the right way to behave? What's the right way to interact with people? And that's not something that you determine once. That's something that you, if you think about it, you're thinking about it all the time. You're always, you know, you're always sort of re-aiming all the time, if you think about it that way. You know, so a lot of the government run, you know, the government funded schools end up they want to sort of reprogram people into you know, and it's, you know, it's an indoctrination process in order to, you know, kind of think in certain ways and redirect your aim at the wrong thing. If they can, you know, change your basic values, because if they can infect you and change your basic values, or at least some of your basic values, then that ends up kind of controlling what you're aiming at, and it can cause you to aim at the wrong things and think that the, you know, basically you end up backwards. Right becomes wrong, wrong becomes right. Something that's really, if you want to, you know, use the word sin, is really something you should be aiming for, and something that you should be aiming for becomes a sin. And that, you know, that's what happens when you turn things, you sort of invert, end up with an inverted value system. So, but in any case, so yeah, that's the going, doing the online school thing is, if you're interested in it and you really think it can, you know, it can kind of enhance your function and marketability in your career, as well as certainly, and if you're interested in it and you remain interested in that topic, and the topics that you're going to study, then, you know, by all means, I think it's a good thing. So, anyway, here is Joel's second comment.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. I'm actually in the car. And I'm waiting for the car's window to defrost. We got a little bit of snow in Grove City. That was my wiper blades in the background, so sorry about that. We got a little snow today, probably about an inch or two. Nothing big, but I'm getting ready to head to the gym, do my Saturday workout. But I thought I'd share with you one of the things I'm doing, just because, one, I enjoy it, and two, I've managed to snag at least a couple friends that's going to go with me on this trip. I'm going to make a trip to Burr Oak State Park, which is in Southeast Ohio. And, my plan there is to do, an event called the Mammoth March. It's August 3rd of 2024. So what this is exactly is a hike through the wilderness down, around Burr Oak. It's actually, there's a lake in the middle of Burr Oak, and the trail goes around that lake. So 20 miles in 8 hours is the plan. All right. So I'm actually going to, I've recorded a video, and I'm probably going to start doing update videos as I start to train for this hike. I wanted the first training. Saturday and Sundays are when I'm going to do primary hike training. But then through the week, I'll also do my normal workouts. So, but the idea here is to strengthen up both my feet as well as my legs, so that I can take this hike on and be able to complete it. All right. The nice thing is, it's a hike, so I don't have to run. Okay. I can walk. In fact, that's probably the preferred method. I'll probably start out faster than I end, obviously. But the biggest thing is learning things about my body and preparing so that when I go into the hike, that I don't get an injury, for one, and that I can make it. So wish me luck, buddy. And I'll post those videos probably to my normal I don't know if I'm going to do it in Life on Ohio or just my normal channel, which neither have a lot of traffic, but I'll let you know.
Okay, well, thank you again, Joel. Good luck on your hike in the wilderness. So, yeah, that sounds like that's substantial. So, probably would be a really good idea to build up your stamina. Because it's, I can just imagine if you didn't, you know, your feet and your legs would just absolutely be killing you. So I don't know if you've ever had the experience of, you know, like being on your feet all day, like as, let's say, as a tourist. That's murder. Oh gosh. Well, one time that comes to mind for me, this goes way back into the early 90s. My middle brother's family, I was living in Pennsylvania at the time. This would have been like 93, 94. Middle brother's family came to visit, and I was, you know, I lived near Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and so they came to, you know, they came and stayed for, you know, several days at my house. And so anyway, I took the time off from work, and we went to Washington, D.C., and we spent quite a bit of time kind of walking around Washington, D.C., doing the kind of the tourist thing, which involves, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you know that, and you're a tourist, you know that you're going to do tons and tons of walking. And, you know, that just, that was murder on all of us. Just not used to being on our feet that much. So I can imagine, you know, doing some sort of hike, you'd have to really want to, you know, kind of be in shape for that as far as feet and legs go. So, but I just, at this point, I don't think I would tackle anything like that. I like walking, but, you know, and I don't have a, you know, that's not something you want to do in a truck stop. Now, eventually, you know, and I still don't know when I'm going to retire. I'm still kind of waffling around about, you know, when should I retire from this job? You know, so I don't know yet. But, you know, when I retire, I can imagine that, you know, that I could end up kind of spending some time walking. You know, nothing crazy. You know, just because I do enjoy walking, and but as far as hiking or whatever, that's you know, in my case, that's kind of pushing it too far. But walking is fine, you know. So, you know, some sort of a paved path, you know, and not pushing too hard. There's really no need. I mean, people, people do go crazy. You know, they'll think they're, I don't know, I think they have the wrong aim. They think that a little bit of exercise is good, so therefore their highest aim sort of becomes, you know, maximum amount of exercise, you know, and somehow the maximum amount of exercise is, that's the ultimate good that they can, that they can pursue, the maximum amount of whatever it is, let's say it's jogging or whatever, and they just utterly end up destroying their joints. Now, not every, I'm not saying that every jogger does that, but there's certainly people that end up, can end up doing that. And it, you know, is the health benefit really there? Probably not the way they're pushing it, you know, because if they're, you know, if they're eating the wrong things, they're putting the wrong, you know, they're providing their body with the wrong building materials, and you do that via eating. If you're providing your body with the wrong building materials, then it's not going to matter. You know, you can jog all day long, and it's, you know, and you know, it's sort of like trying to build a house out of the wrong materials. If you, you know, you kind of build your house out of you know, some kind of like cellophane, try to build a house out of cellophane, and then it's not going to stand up to perform, it's not going to perform very well. You know, and if you're eating the wrong things, you know, you can, and then of course people think, oh, I'm going to compensate, I'm going to do this other thing, I'm going to put this exercise, let's say it's jogging, I'm going to put the jogging at the top of my priority list, and that's going to compensate for everything. You know, jogging becomes the savior, and it's not, you know. So, you know, in order to, you know, your body is made out of, you know, a mixture of protein and fat, and really that's what you need to be eating. Is a mixture of protein and fat, and keep the carbs low. And I know that that's easier. It's easy for me to say, and it really is kind of easy for me to say, because I find that it's actually easy for me to do that. And I still, you know, I just today turned age 69, and I find it absolutely remarkable that for the last several years since I've been on this low carb way of eating, my weight stays between 145 and 150, and it just still blows my mind, because before that, and I don't have to watch how much I eat, before that my weight was always wanting to climb up, you know. And, and I feel better after I changed my diet and cut out most of the carbs. I, you know, I feel better than I have in years. It's amazing. But I know that's, but I know those carbs taste great. You know, I cheated the other day and I ate the rice. I paid the price though. Eat the rice, pay the price. So I did pay the price the other day, but, the rice does taste good, and once in a while I'll eat a dessert, or I'll eat, and I try not to, you know, make a habit of it, but once in a while I'll eat a bowl of pasta or something, or I'll eat a piece of bread or two, you know. And but I really do try to, you know, just cut it off, and it's best if I just don't do it at all. It's kind of like an alcoholic, you know, they, you know, person's alcoholic stops drinking, and they've stopped for a little while, and then they think, oh, I can just have one drink, you know. And of course you can't have one drink, because one drink becomes two drinks, becomes, you know, and then before you know it, they're doing it more than ever. So, you know, in the case of things like desserts and all of that, it's, you know, it's easier just to not do it in the first place. And what really makes it easy for me is if I stick with meat, plenty of meat and salad and vegetables. I just don't feel like I need a snack. And the other thing, I've kind of conquered the emotional need for those things, because there is an emotional addiction factor that does go along with it, and I've had that in the past, certainly. Because I would eat when I wasn't, just because let's say the cakes and the cookies and the candies were there primarily, and I would eat just because it, or the ice cream, and I would eat just because it tasted, I thought it tasted good or whatever. It's a really lousy reason to eat, and now I don't even, it's when it's time, usually I eat twice a day, and when it's time to eat, then I'll eat, so. But in any case, I don't know when I'm going to retire. Because on the one hand, I'm kind of mostly, I still enjoy the job part of the time, but then there's aspects of it that I don't care for. And I find I'm caring for less and less. Then the other problem, I'm making plenty of money, and to be perfectly honest, I'm sort of I like to be able to just spend money at the drop of a hat. If I want the latest and greatest phone, then I don't have a problem just dropping the money on it and getting it. Don't have a problem at all doing that. Now, if I, I retire from this job and I'm living on just the Social Security, I'm going to have to watch that. I'm going to have to end that behavior. Just willy-nilly buying things just because I want to. And I know that I can end the behavior, but it's just the idea that I'm going to somehow limit myself that way is, do I really want to if I don't have to? Now, the other problem, I'm making plenty of money, more money than I've ever made in my life. Do I really want to voluntarily give that up? And if I do, so I'm making all this extra money, or it seems like it, but then I'm spending a fortune eating twice a day in a truck stop. And that adds up, $25, $26 bucks a pop twice a day. That's, figure $50 a day on average. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Day after day after day, that does add up. And I could eat at home for a fraction of that. Let's say a quarter to a third if I ate most of my meals at home. So a lot of the work, the effort that I'm putting out is going for expensive restaurant food that a lot of times isn't really all that good. So is it worth it? I don't know. So I'm still kind of thinking about this, but I'll just have to wait and see what I do. Eventually I'm going to have to quit anyway. People don't live forever. They can't keep working forever. As of right now, my health is good. There's really no reason why I can't keep working. But other than, do I really want to keep working? And that's the kind of thing that I have to decide. How long do I want to keep doing this? Anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. I'm at this truck stop, and I'm going to, after I get this thing uploaded, I'm going to go in there and have my kind of an early supper. It's going to be early afternoon or mid-afternoon, probably mid-afternoon, but that's going to be supper, and then I'm going to come back out here and probably go to bed early since I got up around 1:30 a.m. this morning. So be going to bed. The load that I pick up, it picks up tomorrow here in Columbia, Missouri at 6 a.m., so I'll be getting up fairly early. So anyway, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.